Welcome to Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat, brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network, live from the Virtual Tone Studios. Now here are your hosts, Dr. Higgy and Kat.
Well, good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio community. Welcome once again to Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat, except for today, Kat is missing. She's out preparing for her daughter's wedding, so I'm flying solo, so y'all pray for me. But today, it's a beautiful day here in Houston, and I'm excited about our guest. We have a Dr. Lee that's going to, Dr. William Lee is going to be sharing with us some of his knowledge. And he and I kind of have the same path as far as our primary professions are. We both happen to be OBGYNs. Dr. Lee, are you on?
I am. Good afternoon.
Hi, and welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm an OBGYN, but about 10 or 12 years ago, I started studying anti-aging. I prefer the term age management because anti-aging is kind of negative. But I've been incorporating more and more and more of that into my practice over the past 10 years, and now it's most of what I do.
Well, you know, and I like that philosophy because, you know, anti-aging, that is kind of negative, and we're all aging, but we want to be able to age gracefully, and I like that viewpoint, age management. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like I said, I'm an OBGYN. I have six children myself and four and a half grandbabies. We're gonna get another one here in about October.
Okay.
I live in Denver. I practice in the Denver area. I don't know. I spend most of my time learning about age management and how to accomplish that. So I've incorporated what I had to learn. You know, MDs don't get any training in nutrition, so I had to do a lot of training in nutrition to get up to speed, and then some training in exercise as well, although I've been pretty athletic my whole life. So, you know, to stay healthy really requires good nutrition and daily activity, and then when we get to be older, you need total hormonal balance, and I think bioidentical hormones are the way to go.
Well, you said something very interesting. First of all, that we physicians aren't taught anything about nutrition, which is interesting because the body needs nutrients to function. First of all, I want to know, why did you deviate from the conventional path and decide to go down this road of a more holistic perspective? What happened?
Well, my youngest child has autism, and he's now 22. So when we discovered that when he was about 2 years old is when we got the diagnosis. Traditional medicine really had nothing to offer, and so I kind of went in search of answers, and I went into started looking around at alternative medicine things, and I would sit in these meetings, and they were talking biochemistry, physiology, all these scientific things, and yet they were deemed alternative, and I soon realized that these people are brilliant, that some of the methods they employ may not be mainstream, but they are effective, and I'm sitting in these meetings with chiropractors and osteopaths and massage therapists and acupuncturists, nutritionists, and they're all sitting nodding their heads like, oh, yeah, I know this, I know that. And I'm sitting there saying, this is new information to me. And here I thought, being the MD, I thought I was supposed to be the smart one. And I quickly learned that that wasn't necessarily true. So I jumped into the alternative medicine world, maintaining another foot into the traditional medical world. And then one day a brochure came across my desk saying anti-aging annual seminar, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is interesting, talked about it with a few colleagues, and I decided, you know, I'm going to go. And I went to this meeting, and I sat there with my jaw hanging open, because it's the same information that most of the docs have come across or have learned, but they organized it in a different way. And that was really my... So that's kind of how I got in and kind of got hooked. And then age management coincides so beautifully with menopausal management that it was a natural fit. Then I just had to learn a little bit more about men's hormones. So
yeah.
that's kind of how it came about.
And you know what? I concur with you. I think our paths are definitely parallel. Just you kind of started, you know, a few years ahead of me, and that's kind of what happened with me as well. And I, too, sat in a conference, and the conference I sat in was functional medicine, the International Functional Medicine Organization. And I was like you, like, what is this? You know, they really didn't teach us the clinical appreciation or the clinical application of all this biochemistry and chemistry that we're taught. We're just taught how to memorize the pathways, but we really don't understand them. Would you agree?
I would, and it's interesting. My first meeting was a functional medicine meeting as well.
Wow.
And that was, I felt like I was sitting there trying to take a sip from a fire hose.
Yes, yes. And look, I still feel that way because I just came back from 5 days of a certification to become a clinical nutritionist. And it's just, you know, it's awesome how the body works. But, you know, I kind of feel cheated. All those years in medical school, I feel cheated. I'm like, why didn't they teach me this then? Now I'm having to swim upstream.
Well, I feel like a salmon swimming against the current too, but but there are more and more of doctors like you and me that are beginning to get it. I mean, do you find that, like, if you're saying you're in the hospital, you're waiting for a delivery, and you're sitting around with some doctors and you're chatting, are you astounded by what they don't know?
Oh yes, matter of fact, when I try to talk to them, they really don't know what they don't know because they think they know everything, and that's because of the pharmaceutical world really brainwashing them as to what's real. You know, they want to treat everything with drugs.
Right.
And that's not treatment. It's, you know, the body can heal itself as long as we just kind of nurture it along and give it what it needs. It can heal itself to a degree.
Well, you know, there's my brother's an osteopath, and he's a phenomenal healer. And he told me that one of the central osteopathic principles is if you put the body in its proper alignment, and whether that's physical or nutritional or mental or spiritual, but if you put the body in the proper alignment, it will heal itself. And so I think our goal as a physician should be find out what's going wrong, what can we do to change that so the body aligns itself, and the rest takes care of itself. I mean, as you know, in functional medicine, they talk about the web of all these different things going on, and if you find the primary problem in the web and fix that, then the body has the ability to fix everything else. So it's really a matter of accurate diagnosis and not just giving a drug for a symptom, which happens so often in traditional medicine, but rather what's causing the symptom, and let's fix that. And the fix is oftentimes nutritional.
Exactly. One thing I do want to mention, and you said, The key is to make an accurate diagnosis. But there are many times when we cannot label it. We always want to label it and tame it. Sometimes the issue is not to actually find the label because a lot of times it's multifactorial. And so just as you said, if you give your body the nutrients that it needs to put in the proper alignment, healing should be the end result. But let's get into some of the other specifics that you're concerned about with this age management, and I believe it all kind of unfolds together. But you on your website, you're talking about menopause. You have a huge emphasis. Matter of fact, your first little module you have here is about menopause and menopause evaluation. Tell me about that. I need evaluation of menopause. In a short period of time.
There's the task. Well,
exactly.
When women become menopausal, and, you know, this applies to men. Men go through what is called andropause, and the insurance industry doesn't even recognize andropause, which is stunning. But anyway, we'll talk about menopause. Menopause is a situation when the ovary simply quits working, so it doesn't make hormones any longer. And the three primary hormones are estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Within 2 years, women lose 90% of those hormones. And you kind of go, oh, my goodness, why does that matter? You know, my grandma lived to be age 80, and she never took hormones. Well, I always like to explain to people, let's think about what do hormones do? Why do we have them? The hormones that we're talking about are typically made in a gland. There are a lot of other hormones, like inflammatory immune system hormones, cell-to-cell hormones, but the ones we're talking about, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA comes from the adrenal, thyroid, these hormones are made in a gland. You know, the thyroid gland, the ovary, the adrenal gland, and they go into the bloodstream. And so then they circulate throughout the body in the bloodstream. Well, our body's made up of perhaps 50 trillion cells, give or take a trillion.
Yeah.
And every darn cell has on its surface hormone receptors, and they're specific. You have an estrogen receptor, a testosterone, an insulin, a cortisol, a thyroid, and these hormones come through the bloodstream to the cells, and they somehow find their receptor. How that happens, we're not sure. But they find their receptor. At that point, the hormone attaches. We call it docking. The hormone docks on the receptor. And when that happens, a message goes inside the cell. Different hormone, different message. So the message might be make a protein or make an enzyme or make an antibody, whatever it is. The point, the larger point here is hormones are communicators.
Right.
They're communicating to our cells. They're orchestrating all of these trillions of cells to work in unison to maintain and repair the body. We have a brain. It's a central nervous system. It tells us if something is hot or cold or sharp or dull, or if your hand's above your head or below your head, or it motors us around. But what happens internally with the cells is really dependent upon this hormone system called the endocrine system. And so if the hormones are not being made any longer because we're menopausal, or in the case of a man, andropausal, then we're lacking hormones, we're lacking communication. And with the lack of communication, there could become chaos. And in the body, we call chaos disease. So I think there's a direct connection between hormone balance and health. To maintain good health, we have to have an adequate amount, not too much, not too little, but just right. Have to have an adequate amount of hormones to signal the cells to do the things that need to be done to maintain the body. If we do that, like we talked about earlier, the body's going to heal itself. It's going to maintain itself. So to me, hormonal balance is all about health.
Exactly. You know, it's so wonderful the way you explained it. It's like we have a symphony going on in our bodies.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Go
ahead.
Somebody's got to tell the cellos when to play, and the trombones and the violins, and that's the hormonal function. And it is. It's a symphony. We want to make beautiful music. We don't want to be off key.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, Dr. Lee, so hang tight and we'll be right back.
Great.
The 7th Annual Flexible Workplace Luncheon and Sloan Award Ceremony will be held Wednesday, September 26th at the Sugar Creek Country Club in Sugar Land, Texas. This year's theme is Managing Performance for the Flexible Workplace. The event begins at 9 a.m. with local business executives discussing relevant issues regarding workplace flexibility. They will be discussing managing virtual teams, defining future work, measuring productivity, and much more. The luncheon and award ceremony will begin immediately following the discussion panel. This will include exhibitors and plenty of networking opportunities. For more information or to register, go to flexworks.org. That's flexworks.org. Or you can call 832-288-5631.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Dr. Higgy and Kat of Health Chat have combined their expertise to help you manage your overall health by offering functional medicine and weight loss remedies that address all of your health care concerns. They conduct health seminars and weight management classes that are open to the general public. Their informative classes bring support, awareness, and solutions to chronic health issues to help you truly achieve optimal health and wellness. To find out more, go to TotalHealthCareManagement.com. That's TotalHealthCareMGMT.com.
Well, welcome back to Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat. We have an excellent show today. We're talking with Dr. William Lee, who's an expert in age management. And he was just explaining to us in a very eloquent way what hormones do in our body. And just by way of review, hormones are communicators that basically tell our bodies what to do. Dr. Lee, since menopause, and we're also talking about, you know, the issues of decreasing hormonal status in women, and we're going to get to you men in just a little bit, but let's finish with women. You were telling us about menopause and how that's basically a decline in the estrogen that's in your body. Got a question. I mentioned earlier that I just came back from a nutrition course, and the one of the focuses was really on the chemical burden that we're all exposed to and that we all have in our bodies. And one of a large chemical that we're exposed to and toxins that we're exposed to and that is an aberrant toxin is estrogen. So if we're all exposed to so many exogenous sources of estrogen, for example, the parabens, the PCBs, all these are estrogen mimickers, why do we still go through these menopausal issues and these symptoms if we have, in theory, estrogen in our body but from exogenous sources? And also, as you already know, 60% of us are overweight and are obese, and adipose tissue, fat tissue, also converts estrogen. So what's the issue, Doc?
well said, and I totally agree. We live in an enormously toxic environment. And toxicity changes a lot of things that are supposed to happen in the body. It is a huge toxic burden. And, boy, you can see that in a lot of patients. They just look like they're bloated and puffy and gaining weight. And they may be eating well, exercising, they're still gaining weight. And it has to do with toxicity. But more directly, you're asking about the estrogenic toxins, and they do exist. The reason those estrogens are bad for us is because they're the wrong form.
Right.
If you look at the molecular structure, I hate to get too scientific here, but the molecular structure of estrogen is very, very precise. And the body normally has three different estrogens. called estrone, estradiol, and estriol. We call them E1, E2, E3. E2 is the most potent, the most common, and the one that's most commonly given in therapies. But they have a definite, definite molecular structure. And if you deviate from that structure, they don't behave the same way. The difference between bioidentical estrogen is called estradiol. The difference between estradiol and testosterone is only the change in two atoms. And yet, if you looked at them, if you drew out these molecular structures, they look just almost identical, except we change, we added a little hydrogen here and a couple little teeny tiny changes. And everybody would agree that in the body, estrogen and testosterone behave quite, quite differently.
Right.
Well, the difference between estradiol, the bioidentical estrogen again, and Premarin, which was commonly used until about 10 years ago, the difference between those two molecules is only a couple different little changes. It's about a similar number of changes as there are between estradiol and testosterone. Everybody would agree that estradiol and testosterone behave differently, but then they try to turn around and tell me that estradiol and Premarin are just the same.
Good point.
It does not add up. And likewise, we can talk about bioidentical progesterone or Provera. Provera was commonly prescribed as a progesterone lookalike until about 10 years ago. And there's just a couple little changes on those in those molecular structures. So the bigger point is when you start making teeny changes to the molecular structure, you have a huge change in the function of that hormone and what it does and what it carries out in the body. So to your point, the estrogen toxicity, it's not the same animal. You know, cows, horses, and zebras all have four legs and 4 feet, and they look somewhat similar from a distance, but we all know they're different. Well, like we can make the same point about these different estrogens. They say, oh, they are estrogenic or estrogen-like, but they're like cows, horses, and zebras. They're not the same, and they're going to behave differently, act differently, and create different functions in the body. So I think it's confusing to some people to say, oh, I hear about all these dangerous estrogenic compounds that are in the environment. Yes, they are. But to me, I wish they had different names. You know, let's say the one in our body is estrogen, and the one that's in plastics is gobbledygook. You know, if it had a different name, people wouldn't be so confused.
Right.
So there's the rub. But you also bring up an interesting point about, I find that most patients, when I first meet them, they're kind of afraid of hormones. You know, the media has engendered a lot of fear. That's that big study that came out in 2002 called the Women's Health Initiative generated a huge amount of fear. Because the Women's Health Initiative was this big study on Premarin, horse estrogen, and Provera, a progesterone lookalike, but it had those subtle changes like I was talking about. And when they used Premarin and Provera, that showed increased heart disease, increased strokes, increased breast cancer, increased blood clots. Well, when that hit the media, that was July 2002, when that hit the media, 70% of women around the world stopped taking their hormones. Everybody was afraid. Everybody was afraid. And that fear carries over to today. And the majority of my MD colleagues still remember the Women's Health Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people don't know, unless you're a weirdo like Dr. Higgy and me, and you've read all about the studies that have happened since that study, we now know that those four things are false. It does not increase heart disease. In fact, it reduces heart disease. It does not increase strokes. The increase in breast cancer, this is a foggy issue, and we can go into it if you want to, but it's not a, it's like one or two per 10,000 increased risk of breast cancer, not very big. And then the blood clotting issue, it depends on how you take the estrogen, whether you take it by pill or take it through the skin, which would be a cream or a patch. If you take it through the skin, there is no increased risk of blood clot. So in the last 10 years, we've learned that all these scary things that were talked about are really not applicable, and we can get around all of those issues. And in fact, the hormones improve health because they're reducing heart disease, they're reducing osteoporosis, they're helping the brain work better, they're helping your skin because it promotes collagen underneath the skin, and the lack of estrogen, women get vaginal dryness, they lose elasticity, intercourse becomes painful. All of those issues can be avoided. So there's many, many benefits to hormones today, but most people are unaware of that. And so I always have to take the time to kind of run through what I just ran through to explain to people, you know, don't be frightened, don't be afraid. You know, these are good things, not bad things, and they're health promoting, not disease promoting. So that's always a big struggle for people to get their mind around.
Yeah, and it continues to be. Even with me, because of some of the things that I've learned in functional medicine, if I have a client with menopausal issues, I first try to address their lifestyle.
Yes.
A lot of times when, you know, we address lifestyle issues, which mean and if you've been listening to our program, you understand that, you know, we've got to really change what we're eating. We've got to go back to organic, and we've got to also increase more fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds. Grains, you got to be careful with grains. That's
right.
A whole other animal as well, grains. So hormonal therapy is a big topic to address. So I sometimes put patients on replacement therapy, not a lot. I like to know how they metabolize estrogen. Is that a factor with you?
Sure. I think anybody like you and me who's aware knows that estrogen can be metabolized in different ways. And there are safe ways to metabolize it, and there's not so safe ways to metabolize it, and that can really skew any individual's risk. You're talking about thiohydroxylation. Is that where you were going?
Exactly. The potential three metabolites of estrogen, which, once again, in medical school, that was not emphasized, and if it was, I didn't remember it, Doc.
Well, I don't think they knew the biochemistry. I mean, I'm an old guy. I've been around for 66 years, and so when I was in medical school, we didn't know a lot of the stuff we know today. You sound younger, and so, but still, I mean that you know, the lady she's at the University of Nebraska of all, and that's not known to be a huge research center, but she's done research on these metabolic pathways for 25 years. Lady named Rogan.
Okay.
I got to hear her speak about a year ago, and she had this eloquent diagrams of all these metabolic pathways that estrogen goes down, and so the thing that will help people avoid the wrong metabolism is to eat the cruciferous vegetables. You know,
right.
Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, mustard greens, those kinds of vegetables have a chemical component called indole-3-carbinol, or I3C. If you hate vegetables, you can go to a health food store and find I3C or its cousin, DIM, and take those tablets. But that can help the metabolism of estrogen so that it's safe.
Exactly. All right, well, Dr. Lee, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to bring in the men factor, the male factor. Thank you for listening, and hang on, okay?
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Calling all racers, calling all charities. Races for Change wants to help you with your individual or team fundraising gaps. A resource for fundraising tips, marketing ideas, and scholarships to get you to the starting line for your charity race. Swim, bike, run, walk, or jog to transform your nonprofit and click your way to racesforchange.org for scholarships, resources, ideas, and connections. The cash in your pocket, the loose change in your car, the coins in your piggy bank. A little change goes a long way to help charities fund their mission. And Races for Change is one nonprofit changing the fundraising arena. We want to be the change participants need to get to the starting line for their charity race. At racesforchange.org, we provide resources, ideas, connections to the experts, and scholarships to put the fun back in fundraising. Run, swim, or bike your way to your mission and let us help you with the fundraising gaps that slow you down and keep you from getting to the starting line. Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat. This program explores the health and wellness industry. They will bring informative and lively discussions with specialists from all aspects of health. From traditional to alternative medicine, they look to discover all options available to manage and maintain better physical, mental, spiritual, financial, and family health. These are all areas that touch each and every one of us, and they play a crucial role in shaping our overall health and determine our quality of life on our quest to achieve optimal health and wellness. Tune in to Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat on Fridays at noon on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more at toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Well, welcome back to our program. We have an interesting subject that we're talking about, the management of age, and that's something you can't avoid. We're all aging. The issue is we want to age gracefully. So Dr. Lee is here to help us hopefully to do that. So we were talking about women and menopause, so let's bring in the male factor. Tell us what andropause is, doctor.
Well, men lose hormones too, and andropause is the term for what some people refer to as male menopause. But men do it differently. You know, women go along with their hormonal male and up until about, well, the average is about age 50, 51, they almost drop off a cliff, and they go from a normal hormone complement just boom right down to very, very low complement of hormones. So it's a very rapid change, and a lot of the symptoms that come with along with menopause, like hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, are related to that changing level in hormones. Men don't do that. Men very gradually lose their testosterone, beginning as early as age 35 or 40, and they lose about 1 to 2% per year. And you think, well, that's not much, but, you know, that's like 14% per decade. And so by the time a male reaches the age 50, 55, certainly by 60, they typically will have a testosterone level that's half of what it was when they were 25 and vigorous. And so men wind up losing their vigor, their vitality, that vavoom, that I don't know what word there is for it, but it's that male, hard-driving, hard-charging, competitive, I'm better than you, I can get there faster, I can jump higher, I can throw it farther, all that macho stuff that really takes place even in the workplace. And so men wind up feeling tired. They're not driven. They don't care. They're perhaps depressed. Some men even have hot flashes. They'll never, ever admit it, but they can. So men, the major hormone for men is testosterone. And so it's simple to do a blood test and measure testosterone levels and see where someone is. I don't believe I've seen a normal in anybody over the age of 55.
Wow.
And typically even at age 50. So right about the same time women are going through their menopausal thing, men are going through their andropausal thing, it's like watching your children grow. You never see them grow. But then, your brother, sister who lives 5 states away comes and visits and goes, oh my gosh, Johnny's, 8 inches taller than when I saw him last. And you go, oh yeah, you're right. You don't see it day to day to day to day, and men don't feel it because of that slow, gradual loss. But if you ask a guy, let's say he's 50, say, how are you different than you were when you were 25? You know, oh my gosh, I had energy to boot. I was out running around. I could party all night. I could run fast. I could do these math things in my head. And now I'm just kind of plugging along and comfortable in my easy chair, and all I want to do is watch TV. And I mean, there's a real shift, but it's such a gradual shift. Most people don't see it until you stop and kind of think about it and go, oh yeah, I get it. So anyway, so I measure testosterone levels, and this other hormone, DHEA, I mentioned it with the menopause. Men, and DHEA comes from the adrenal gland, whereas testosterone comes from the testicle. The estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, women come from the ovary. So DHEA is a little different. It comes from a different source. But when those other hormones decline, whether it's menopause or andropause, 80-90% of the time, DHEA also declines. So I'm usually looking at men at testosterone and DHEA. And then if you're going to replace testosterone, if you're going to give a testosterone cream or a shot or however you're going to approach it, some men will convert testosterone into estrogen.
Right.
And some men will convert testosterone into, it's called dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. So if you're going to treat men, you've got to also follow estrogen and DHT to make sure that they're not becoming too high, and then you create another set of problems. If you find a guy who is a converter, there are ways to manage that. So when I see it, I know how to, how to react to it. You know how to respond to it. You know how to fix it so it's not a problem. But I think there's some general practitioners out there just kind of giving testosterone creams away, and they don't know they should be following these other things. And you also have to follow PSAs, because you can see a rise in it's a prostate-specific antigen. You could see a rise in PSA, so you got to be careful and watch that.
So once you see a client who is andropausal, and you're concerned about his declining testosterone levels, you would prescribe some form of replacement. And I like the fact that you're testing their levels to see how they're, what pathways they're going down. How often would you test their levels?
Well, with men or women, typically, I always tell a patient, I don't have a magic ball. I don't know what dose you need. And different, whatever dose we use, some people will absorb 90% of it and some will absorb 30% of it. And then there's everything in between. And, with any individual, I don't know what kind of an absorber they are. And then once they do absorb it and it's in the body, you're going to metabolize it. You're going to chemically chew it up and spit it out. And people will do that at different rates. So the point is, everybody is an individual. And so you have to individualize the dosing. So what I'll do is I'll start a I will start them on what I believe to be the low side of maybe a normal dose.
Okay.
And then about 6 weeks down the road, I'll recheck their levels and see, okay, where are we? What did we accomplish? And then you adjust. You know, if I really undershot on the dosage, then I'll raise the dosage up and rather gently. And then a couple months later, we'll check again. And we may have to adjust even further. And a couple months later, check. Once we obtain the correct dose for each individual, then I'll go 6 months before I'll check them again, just to make sure that something strange hasn't happened.
Well, one thing that I was stressed at this most recent conference that I've been to is a man is overweight, which a lot of us are. It's basically a travesty to initiate testosterone treatment because of the fact that, if they're overweight, we know a lot of that fat distribution may be because of cortisol versus estrogen. And if you're not sure how they metabolize, then they might be indeed converting that testosterone that you're giving them to estrogen and hence increasing their risk for prostate cancer and breast cancer. Men get breast cancer as well. So how do you handle that? I mean, the client comes in, they're overweight, they're concerned about their declining virility. How do you handle that as far as that's concerned?
Well, I will still treat, but then I do that close follow-up to make sure that they're not creating too much estrogen or something like that. But a lot of those individuals, too, I mean, so frequently they're sedentary,
mm-hmm.
and they're not knowledgeable about nutrition. So we try to employ, glycemic index. We try to, there's a great book out there. It's on the bestseller list right now called Wheat Belly. Wheat as in the grain. And it's written by a cardiologist up in Wisconsin. And being a cardiologist, he sees all these people with heart problems. They tend to be overweight, diabetic, high blood pressure. And whether they are proven to be gluten sensitive or not, he puts them on a gluten-free diet. And he said they routinely lose 30, 40 pounds. Their blood sugars drop. Their blood pressures drop. Their bloating goes away. They feel better. Their heart functions better. And that's just kind of a fascinating book, I think. So most people, I'll talk to them about gluten. I'll talk to them about glycemic index because I think, sugar is probably the greatest poison out there.
Yeah.
And the average American today consumes 162 pounds of sugar a year.
Yeah.
That's a half a pound a day.
That's amazing.
Our bodies cannot handle that. And so we have to educate.
Yeah, and that's the problem, I think, in the world of conventional medicine because of all the, stressors that are placed on traditional physicians with the management of the practice, the overhead, and, trying to get the numbers out. We don't have time. We do not have time or take the time or want to take the time to educate our clients.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, that's why I wrote the book.
Let's get into that. Tell us about your book, Doc.
It's called Over 50, Feeling 30. And I go through the 12 things that are aging us, and then I go through the whole estrogen menopause issue. Then I go through the andropause testosterone issue, and we cover the things like risk of cancer and all those issues that always come up. So I just did that, and I had an editor that I kept telling my wife, she's driving me crazy. She's asking me all these, explain this word, go into more depth here. What does this mean? Can you say this in a different way? And what she was doing, she was making me write it in layman's language. And so the feedback I get is, oh, my God, I could understand it. And to me, that's a huge compliment because I wanted something that people could understand and utilize. And in there I talk about a problem. Here's the nutritional solution. Next problem, here's the nutritional solution, or supplemental. When I say nutrition, it's nutrition and supplements both. So it's kind of a workbook or a handbook that people can use to, oh, I got a problem with inflammation. What do I do about that? Well, fish oil, vitamin D, curcumin, you know, or I have a problem with antioxidants. What can I do for that? And so I just spell it out.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break, so we'll be right back, and we want to get back on the subject of your book. Stay with
us. Thank you.
Tune in to KKHT 100.7 and listen to Ken Marsh, award-winning author, international keynote speaker, and host of The Word on Fearless Networking, a show about putting Christian networking principles into action, airing Monday through Friday, 7 to 7:15 p.m., on KKHT 100.7, The Word. Let author Charlie Labosco show you how to build a better workplace. Charlie is looking to improve the workplace, and by that he means your relevance in it. Charlie has almost 40 years of experience inside the corporate workplace. He has seen unbelievable, mind-boggling change in technology over the years, but no real change in the day-to-day and sometimes toxic workplace behavior. For more about Charlie and his book, Care, Courage to Take Action Relevant to Everyone, Building a Better Workplace Starts with You, visit charliespeaking.com. Dr. Higgy and Kat of Health Chat have combined their expertise to help you manage your overall health by offering functional medicine and weight loss remedies that address all of your health care concerns. They conduct health seminars and weight management classes that are open to the general public. Their informative classes bring support, awareness, and solutions to chronic health issues to help you truly achieve optimal health and wellness. To find out more, go to TotalHealthCareManagement.com. That's TotalHealthCareMGMT.com.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with Dr. William Lee, and I'm very blessed that we've met this way, Doc, and I appreciate you being on our show. And he was just telling us about the book that he wrote titled Over 50, Feeling 30. And just some of the subtypes are nutrition, exercise, stress management, bioidentical hormones, and I want you to talk to us a little bit more about the 12 causes of aging. Give us some bullet points, Doc.
You're fun. Thank you. Just give it a plug. The book's available on Amazon, and it's available in all the ebook formats. But anyway, so the 12 things that age us, this harkens back to your functional medicine background. Things like inflammation, too much sugar, the whole oxidation thing, which is, you know, antioxidants, free radicals, that whole issue, and then impaired detoxification. I hate the term detoxification because people think about alcohol and drug rehab, but detoxification is the way our bodies take things that come into our bodies and get rid of them. So anything that we might eat, like a pesticide or an herbicide, that we might inhale, like exhaust fumes from the car in front of you, or that you might drink, like mercury, lead in the water. Anything that we ingest, get on our skin, your body has to do something with it, and that's called detoxification. And so most of that occurs in the liver, and so it's a very busy place having to take care of all kinds of stuff, and there can be all kinds of breakdowns in the way that can happen. So there's a chapter about that. And then the next one is blood clots. As we grow older, we have a greater and greater and greater risk of a blood clot. And of course, that can be lethal. And we're learning more and more about these factors that can be measured in the blood that are known to increase blood clotting. So we talk about that. We talk about stress. I mean, that's kind of a duh. Everybody's kind of aware that stress is taxes us very much. And then I get into, you know, insufficient nutrition, which I think applies to darn near 100% of us.
Yeah.
And then insufficient exercise. I mean, is there anybody out there who doesn't understand or believe that exercise is good? I think everybody knows that it's good. But here's a sad statistic. 16% of the population belong to a health club. And I'm guessing there might be another 10% that work out on their own. We're still at about a quarter of the people, one in four, that are exercising. That means three out of four aren't. And so in this chapter, we talk about the benefits of exercise, which are, the list is huge.
Yeah.
And then I did a little brief chapter on telomeres. Telomeres are the little end cap, the little end piece on the DNA. And every time a cell divides, you lose a little piece of the telomere. And so after the cell divides something like 35 times, maybe 40, you run out of telomere, and then the cell dies. So telomere length is equated with health and vitality. And then there's a chapter on insufficient hormones. I go into that in much more detail later. And then there's a chapter on growth hormone. A lot of people doing age management are prescribing growth hormone. It has a bad rap, I think. Growth hormone should be called healing hormone. It's a tremendous healer. It's a tremendous boost in health. The problem with growth hormone is it costs a darn much. The average dose costs in the ballpark of $500 a month, so most people can't go there. And then the last section on aging is on brain neurotransmitters. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out on that now and the kinds of things we can do to influence that. But one kind of general thought, I think a lot of people are aware that the lack of serotonin is associated with depression. Well, serotonin is a neurotransmitter. Neurotransmitters come from amino acids. Amino acids are the little parts of proteins. So you stick a bunch of amino acids together and you have a protein. Well, most depression is in women. And if we were to generalize, and I know that you can't, the generalizations are not always true, so don't hear me wrong, but if we generalized, women don't eat enough protein.
We don't.
They tend to eat more carbs.
Right.
Men tend to eat too much of everything. but they're not lacking protein typically. And so women tend to be lacking protein, so they're lacking amino acids, so they're lacking neurotransmitters.
Wow.
And so I think a diet that has adequate or sufficient protein, particularly for women, becomes really important, if for nothing else, to have adequate neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, acetylcholine, all these things that are helping the brain function and actually have a profound effect on mood. So those are the 12 things that I discuss before I get heavy into the women's menopause and hormones, and then the last section is men and their andropause and their hormones. So that's kind of what the book covers. And like I say, with each of these, the things that age us, at the end of each one of those sections, I talk about the supplements or the nutritional things or the exercise things you can do to overcome that particular issue, whether it's inflammation or too much sugar or lack of exercise or whatever the issue is. So I try to give pointers to point people in the right direction.
Well, that's great information. And just to piggyback on that, have you ever heard of a sea animal called a sea squirt?
No.
Well, I just learned about a sea squirt recently. A sea squirt is an invertebrate that once it's a larvae, and then once it grows up, it lives on a rock. It finds a rock in the sea, and that's where it lives. That's what it stays for the rest of its life cycle. once it has found that rock where it's going to live, it eats its own brain.
Now, it eats its own brain?
Yes, sir. It eats its own brain. So why would an animal eat its own brain? Well, it's no longer moving. It doesn't need its brain anymore. So we need our brain for proprioception and to move. So what happens is when you're not moving, you begin to lose your brain. We actually, there are studies that suggest that we lose about, our brain shrinks about 20% with inactivity.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So
that's great information.
I don't want to be a sea squirt, Doc. I don't want my brain to shrink.
I think you're safe. Knowing what you know, I don't think you're a sea squirt.
So I just want to give that little feedback, that little tidbit, you know, out there. So whenever we decide, okay, I'm too tired, I don't want to exercise, just think about that little sea squirt out there, guys. We don't want our brain to shrink. We want our brain to definitely glow, you know. So tell us right quick, give us a big challenge that my clients have is, what do we eat? Dealing with women, and you're right, we're protein deficient. Give us a simple breakfast that we can eat in the morning that includes a good amount of protein.
You know, to me, breakfast is the hardest meal.
Yeah.
Because the cereals are awful.
They have
bastardized all the grains so badly that all the breakfast cereals are, they're, you might as well just have a bowl of sugar. They're pretty worthless. So what are you going to eat? It comes down to eggs, bacon, ham. You know, of the cereals, the best one is real oatmeal, not instant, but the real cooked oatmeal. What my wife will do is she'll make a big bowl of it and put it in the fridge, and each morning just scoop out a serving and warm it up and add some berries, maybe some nuts, and there's a fairly decent breakfast. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, that's all I – what do you suggest to people?
Well, another thing that I do, I mean, steel-cut oatmeal would be the best because at least
right.
It's going to give you fiber and it's not as processed. But another thing that I recommend is a green smoothie. Because of my quick lifestyle, I just take a quality medical food, which would include a quality amount of protein, usually about 22 to 24 grams of protein, of a medical food, which you have to get from a physician. You got to be careful about all these shakes that's over the counter. A lot of them have so many toxins and mercury, and even arsenic has been found in some of these over the counter meal supplements. But I do a green smoothie.
And tons of carbs.
You're right. So I can take a shake with either some coconut milk or almond milk, the unsweetened almond milk. With a handful of greens, I might put some spirulina or some chlorophyll or some type of green in it, and there you go. Blend that up, and I can drink that in the car on the way to work.
That's great.
That's a quick, easy breakfast. So, but, you know, that time has passed by so fast, and I've really enjoyed talking with you, and we must continue our relationship. Because I know I'm a parasite, Doc. I like to learn from people who know more than I do. So.
I'm the same way. Most of what I've learned has been that way.
Exactly.
I've totally enjoyed this. It's been fun. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Well, likewise. So once again, tell us how we can contact you and get a hold of your book.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Tell us again how we can contact you if we need to or get a hold of your book. What's your contact information or your website?
It's on the website, which is agemanagementmd.com. You can get it through the website. You can also get it on Amazon. You can also get it as an e-book, you know, whether it's Kindle or Apple or any of those.
Oh, great. Great. Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you once again so much, Dr. William Lee, for spending this hour with us. We appreciate your knowledge, your wealth of knowledge. And we look forward to, once again, continuing on with our relationship. And just as a little side note, again, October the 13th, Kat and I plan on having a Motive Expo. And as opposed to having Motive's mammogram and me, I changed it. We're going to do thermography. You know, so many women are developing thyroid cancer, and we're wondering why. So maybe the mammograms might have a contributing factor, might play a role. So as opposed to promoting mammography, we're going to promote something different, and that's thermography. So you can contact me at Dr. Higgy at sccglobal.net and for further details about that. All right, everyone have a very good weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Katz. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest on one of our shows, please visit TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com.